Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
And with us today is, once again, Ron Kangas. Ron, welcome back to the program. I really appreciate that you can be here for this life study of Acts.
Good to be here, Chris, as always.
Ron, in this portion, we've got 2 stories, really. One, an item I think that's familiar to many Christians, a period of time when the believers had all things in common. The lands and possessions were sold and given to the apostles to distribute. And in the other account, we're going to take a look at these 2 vivid portions in Acts 4 and 5. Let's join Witness Lee.
Now, at the end of chapter 4 and at the beginning of chapter 5, Luke gives us 2 scenes. One is the passive scene of the church life, the other is the negative. In the church life there, all the saints, by the dynamic salvation, had overcome all the material possessions. So they had all the things in common, and Luke give us a passive example, the example of Barnabas. In those verses, you could see, number one, he was a Levite. Number two, he was born in Cyprus. And by birth, he was a Cyprian. But he got saved. And then he sold his property and brought the money to put it at the feet of the apostles for distribution. Well, that is a passive scene. Then, following this, Luke presents us a negative scene. This is a scene of a couple, Ananias and Sapphira. Well, they had a plan. Rather, they had an evil plan to deceive the indwelling spirit. I must make it clear that by reading this portion, you could see the Holy Spirit indwelt them. And number two, Satan, this portion says, Satan filled their heart. So there are 2 residents in them. The number one is the Holy Spirit, and the second is Satan.
Ron, a good technique in studying and expounding the Bible is to explore the stark contrasts that the Bible itself presents to us. Witness Lee frequently used this technique and points it out often. And we see a powerful example of it here today in these 2 chapters. Maybe you could say something about these 2 examples from the early church life, one so marvelously positive and the other tragically negative.
Let's consider the factor of this positive example in chapter 4. We're told that the apostles, with great power, gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and that great grace was upon all the believers. We need to emphasize the fact that the proclamation or the propagation of the resurrected Christ is the central theme in Acts. The subject of the apostles' gospel preaching was the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. The church, we know from the Gospel of John, was brought forth in Christ's resurrection life. The church in Acts had its existence due to the believers' experience of the resurrection life of Christ. So they were now in the early stages, coming together, meeting together, having all things in common, not because of any teaching or ethical standard imposed on them, but by the power of resurrection life and the grace of God. So spontaneously, they were in one accord. We know from earlier chapters, like chapter 2, they met daily from house to house. They were continuously enjoying the Lord corporately. New ones were being added to the churches daily. And they just didn't regard their possessions as their own private property. They wanted to share them. This was an issue of resurrection and grace. Then in chapter 5, we have an instance where the background is that many, like Barnabas, were selling their property or their lands and brought the proceeds to the church and laid them at the apostles' feet. There's no indication that they were required to do this. This was a move of the Lord with the response of the saints. Here comes Ananias and Sapphira. What did they do? They had property. They sold it for a certain amount. Then they contrived together to bring only part of it and present it to the Lord by laying it at the apostles' feet. The issue here was really not greed. The property was theirs. There's no requirement for them to sell it or for them to give it. But they lied. Satan came into their heart. They lied to God, to the Spirit, by pretending to give everything like everyone else, when actually they wanted it both ways. They wanted something for themselves, but they still wanted to be regarded as those following the pattern of an absolute giving up of one's personal possessions in response to the resurrection life and the grace of God. Now, by extension, I would add this. Suppose Ananias and Sapphira sold their property for 10,000 shekels. Then they came to the church, and they told Peter and the whole church, "We sold our property for 10,000 shekels, but at the present, we only feel to offer 5,000. There would have been no lie, no pretending, no hypocrisy, no deceit, therefore no judgment. I emphasize the issue here is they're wanting to have a reputation among the believers for being absolutely given when they were not. They lived a lie. They lied to God. They were one with Satan, the father of lies, and they experienced the judgment, and great fear came upon all the church that this is not a place where you pretend, where you lie. Here everything must be genuine, truthful, honest, and sincere."
We're going to look more at that black scene. Let's rejoin Witness Lee.
I tell you, here maybe in New Testament is the first case of the believers possessed or deceived by Satan. Peter even say, "Why Satan filled your heart?" Satan was not outside. Satan was there in their heart, deceiving them, seducing them. How could Satan have such a ground? Listen, I have found out through the years, even we believers all are ambitious. Ambitious in name, ambitious in position, ambitious in title, ambitious in rank, even in the church life. Here and there, in Orange, in the Western world, human beings are human beings. In the Far East, I saw people in the church ambitious for rank, position, title, and name. In the Western world, the same. I tell you, even the church, the young boys, young girls, ambitious. They are ambitious for a leadership. So what was the ground based upon which Satan deceived this couple? Because they wanted to get a name. To get a name that they sold everything for the church. You see, they sold, but they didn't put out everything. They hid something with a plan. And here Peter says, they lied to the Spirit. Do you think the Spirit is outside them? The Spirit in the heavens? Didn't they lie to an objective Spirit? I don't believe so. But I rather believe that very Spirit they lied to was within them. If the Spirit was not within them, how could Peter say they lied to the Spirit? By this you could see, at the same time, Satan was within them, and the Holy Spirit was also within them. You have to realize, in Matthew 16, at the very wonderful time, when Peter recognized that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Lord told him that was a vision from the Father, not from blood and flesh. At that wonderful time, Peter got possessed by Satan. Just like this. When Peter was receiving a revelation of the Father, meantime, he was possessed by Satan. So he said something out of Satan, and that forced the Lord to turn to him and said, Satan. He said, Satan was there. Was there not outside of Peter, but inside of Peter. Be careful. Be careful. At any time, we could be deceived because he is not far from us. We must condemn, we must reject, we must abandon our ambition to be somebody in the church life. When you have decided to be somebody in the church life, I tell you, you gave Satan the enemy a strong ground to deceive you, to kill you, to bring you into debt.
Ron, we really need a window into this account of Ananias and Sapphira to see the cause of their fall. Of course, no one wants to be in the pattern of these two believers and repeat their experience. So what is the lesson or lessons conveyed to us in this account?
Okay, I want to build upon what I shared previously. The background, as seen in chapters 2 through 4, is the moving of the Spirit, the power of the gospel, the resurrection life of Christ, the grace of God, the corporate enjoyment of the Lord, the daily church life from house to house, that issued spontaneously in a temporary practice, considering the whole of the New Testament, of the believers having all things common. The fact that in the epistles, Paul did not teach this or instruct this indicates that it was not at the core of the essential life and practice of the church, but it was their corporate experience. Out of love for the Lord, out of love for the church, out of joy in the Lord filling them, the believers came one by one and sincerely offered up the value of what their possessions sold for to the church. And there was a situation, at least this was the goal, later a problem emerged temporarily in chapter 6, where the needs of all could be taken care of. Barnabas did this. So many others did this. There is no requirement that this is a condition to meet with the church in Jerusalem, that this is a requirement for one who believes in the Lord. But here you have a couple who lied. They were one with Satan, the father of lies. Peter even said, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" This indicates a few things. One is the church, the genuine church, is the pillar and base of the divine reality. Here everything should be honest, truthful, pure, real, no pretense, no hypocrisy. Ananias and Sapphira violated that. They wanted to be regarded as if they were like all the other believers, giving up everything. So here they come with the amount that they agreed to offer, and they pretended that this was the entire amount. This was the lie. In doing this, although they were believers, we should not think they were false believers. They were real believers. But because in their heart they lied and deceived, they gave ground for Satan to occupy them. So here we see that when it comes to the genuine church, the practice of the local church is revealed in the New Testament. We should not pretend. We're not here to get glory from other humans, other believers. We're not here to have a name for ourselves among the believers. We should be truthful. We should be honest. We should be genuine. We should be sincere in all that we do. This is the lesson. It's not that, oh, you wanted money, and just because you wanted the money, you were judged. I repeat, they could have said, "We have decided to keep half the money. We are giving the other half of the money." Right away, they would have lowered themselves according to the standard they had assimilated, but they would have been honest. There would have been no lie. Peter didn't say that it's because of the money. It's because of the lie. And the basic lesson is God hates hypocrisy. He hates lies. He hates pretense. He hates play acting. We should have a holy fear of God and a respect for the genuine church as the assembly of God to at least be straightforward, genuine, and honest regarding our church life.
Let's go back to Witness Lee for the conclusion. It's a very interesting conclusion.
Okay, here you could see this couple had ambition to get some name and to be somebody in the church. They got deceived. And that deception brought them into debt. And what Peter exercised was just to expose their debt physically. Don't think today such kind of physical debt would not occur, then there's no debt. I must tell you, once you have the ambition to be somebody, to be some kind of a leader, I tell you, right away, death kills you. Spiritually, physically, you are not dying. But spiritually, you got killed. So be careful about this. And we have to realize that the Holy Spirit used Luke to keep this thing in the record. Surely must have a kind of a significance to show us in the church life it might be very wonderful. Yet, while the church life is being wonderful, you be careful. You be careful. Don't have an ambition to be anybody, to get any rank, to get any position, to get any name. Once you have this ambition, you give the enemy the ground to kill you. to just put you into debt. Here, I like to say a little word concerning everything in common. Let me read this. Verse 4 to you. While the property remained unsold, they did not remain your own. And when it was sold, was it not in your authority? And these words indicate that to get everything common is not a legality. It's not a requirement. It has to be something out of the willingness. Not required, but out of the willingness of the living saints. If you don't feel so, you just don't do it. You have the authority to sell. It's your property. After selling, still the money is yours. I read it again. While the property remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And when it was sold, was not in your authority? Sure it was. Then you don't need to plan to tell the lie. The sin is not to do this, not to sell, not to give. The sin is that you intend to lie. You may still keep your property. That is not sinful. That is not sinning. After being sold, you may still keep the proceeds. That is not sinful. That's not wrong. But if you intend to get a name by lying, this is a gross sin to offend the indwelling spirit. And this is a kind of willing cooperation with the evil resting within you. So, we all have to learn the lesson.
Ron, I'm so grateful to the Lord for this ministry that opens the scriptures up to us in such a penetrating and meaningful way. The story of this couple and their tragic end is well known among many Christians. A quick or casual reading leads to the conclusion that it was their greed or their desire to retain riches or wealth. But as you pointed out earlier, and I think it's worth coming back to, this is really not the problem. But we are being very much enlightened today, aren't we, Ron, as to the real situation?
The Spirit is the Spirit of reality, guiding us into all reality. The source of this reality is God Himself as light. And the Word embodies and conveys the divine light that shines in the darkness. I myself need, we all need, this kind of enlightenment so that we would respectfully fear God and be genuine with Him, with the church, and in all our relationships with fellow believers.
It's really interesting, isn't it, that in chapter 5 here, it's Peter that speaks the word to Ananias and Sapphira, that Satan has filled their heart. And this, no doubt, harkens back to the day in the Gospels when the Lord Jesus said nearly the same thing to Peter. Ron, I really appreciate your being with us today and all of your comments.
Thank you for joining us today. And for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.